We're going to be looking at what God's Word has to say about new things in the life of a believer. And we've been going through our series, and we have arrived at the great and glorious message from the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. As believers, we have been delivered from the powers of darkness. I'd like for you to turn to that central passage of Scripture that we are looking at, Colossians 1, 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want to introduce you to someone in our message today that is so evil that Christians cannot even comprehend the depth of his wickedness. I want to introduce you to a being who is as evil as God is good. He is as selfish as God is unselfish. And he is as hateful as God is loving. None other than Satan himself. Satanas, the wicked one, the evil one, the slanderer. The one who, if he could, would cause you to lose your salvation. But praise God, greater is the one that is in us than he that is in the world. But Satan wants to destroy our effectiveness for the Lord. We're going to be looking at what the Word of God has to say regarding eight key truths in battling with our enemy, Satan. And if you looked at our Facebook entry regarding our message, you noted that I made the statement regarding an antinomy, something that really doesn't make sense. The Word of God tells us boldly that Christ Jesus has defeated the works of darkness and destroyed the works of darkness. But then we ask ourselves, why is it that so many believers today are not walking as they ought to and may be experiencing areas of strongholds in their lives? And hence the antinomy. What Jesus has done in victory over principalities and powers, but yet the defeated lives that so many Christians are living because they are not walking in light of God's Word. If you look back at our Colossians passage where your Bibles ought to be opened, the Word of God says he delivered us from the power of darkness. That was accomplished at the cross work of Jesus Christ. But also notice, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And yet there are some aspects of God's redemptive purpose that is yet future. You see, we're not actually in the kingdom, but judicially we are. Judicially, the victory has been won. We are inhabitants of the kingdom of God, even though chronologically that kingdom is yet future. And we looked and glimpsed at it from the book of Zechariah chapter 14 during the Sunday school hour. But we have been translated there in Christ Jesus, you see. And likewise, the victory that we have is through Christ Jesus. But I want us to note a few things. We need to understand eight key truths in battling with our enemy, Satan. Truth number one, we need to recognize that even though you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, there is still the battle for the mind. Satan is doing everything that he can to pollute and to contaminate our minds so that we are not responding to the full truth of God's word. You see, that's where man's problem is. Now, in the book of Romans, note with me one scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We had a little bit of a glimpse of what we have to look forward to during the month of March as Dick is going to be dealing with some scriptures in the Old Testament in comparison with our own country. But we look at America and we see the sad condition of our nation just in this verse by itself. In Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." But what happened? What caused all of this? "They became vain in their imaginations." You see that word imaginations? That tells us that man's basic problem is with his mind as well as his heart, which are often synonymous concepts in the Word of God. Remember, Proverbs 14, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The heart can think, you see. And man's problem, his heart and his mind are wicked. And there's that battle for the mind. "They become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart is darkened." And we see in our nation today, don't we? In the political scene, in the educational area, in the area of religion, we see all around us the darkness and the wicked imaginations of men and how they can take events to take place where God is wanting to get our attention and they'll twist it around to attack things that are virtuous and the freedoms of men. And will very often misconstrue for their own wicked devices what God wants to demonstrate to a nation. Look at Romans chapter 12, if you will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Once we are saved, the Lord begins a cleanup process on our minds." Now, when I first started out in the ministry, folks, I had to battle in counseling with individuals that were involved in wicked things dealing with the mind. Oftentimes, I'd counsel with soldiers who could not get out of their heads the viciousness of battle. Today, we call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Back then, they didn't have a name for that. But the concept were there, the thoughts and the memory and the guilt. And every pastor that's in the ministry knows the counseling that's involved in domestic matters and the guilt of sin and what it can do to a home and a marriage and all of these things. And yes, we dealt with the issue of pornography, but with the internet, folks, I can tell you the pornographic industry is destroying the lives of young people and young couples, yes, even in the church. And many, many churches are not responding to the need for counseling in that area. And the devil cannot steal your soul, but he'll do everything he can to try to short-circuit God's cleanup process in your mind and in your heart. And that's why in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we've been saved by his precious blood." And Romans delineates justification and what God has done. But part of the sanctification process, once we are saved, is that he wants to clean up our minds. And we are reminded that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Elsewhere in Romans 6, the word present is spoken of as being translated yield. We are to yield our bodies. You see, Satan wants us to misuse our bodies. And that includes our minds, you see. And he wants to cause us to be polluted. The Bible says we are to present our bodies to the Lord, a living sacrifice. Set apart, that's the word holy. Acceptable means well-pleasing. And it's our reasonable service. And notice, don't be conformed. That word conformed is where we get schematic from. And some of you people that have worked in business, I know Brother Chuck Farson, you know what a schematic is, where you can see the pattern of circuitry or equipment as it needs to be wired or prepared for a computer. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the schematic of the world. And we see that the world has all of these things, and the devil wants to sidetrack us. We need to understand that there's that battle for the mind. I remember years back, Tim LaHaye did a series of the battle for the Bible, and then he did a series on the battle for the mind. And that is so true in the world today. Don't be put to the schematic of the world, but be metamorphosized. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Lord has a cleanup process. And we need to ask ourselves this question. What have we been meditating on? What have we been reading? I've talked to individuals that have shared, you know, I can't even close my eyes and pray or read the Bible without all of these images of the trash that I've allowed to come into my heart and life. And it renders us powerless and defenseless. It destroys marriages. And young people are so polluted with distortions about the physical relationship. When they do marry, they don't even have the concept of the sacredness of their partner and their bodies. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. The word conformed means letting an external influence affect you. The word transformed means that you're changed from the inside by the seed of the Spirit of God that was implanted in you when you came to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Spirit of God transforming, the renewing of the mind. What is the benefit? That we can know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will begins with allowing God to work in our lives so that we can experience the best for Him. How many couples, their lives is just filled with the littering of wrong choices? And God wants you to find His will because it's good and acceptable and it's the perfect will of God. Yes, there's the battle for the mind. But also, we need to remember, as believers, as children of God, we need to learn daily to put on the whole armor of God. And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, God's word delineates that for us in verses 14 through 17. We have the exhortation, put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And notice, take the helmet of salvation. That controls and protects the mind, doesn't it? The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the whole armor of God needs to be put on. And notice what it says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, we need to remember how true this principle is. Then we need to thirdly recognize that Christ has overcome the power of the devil. In Colossians 2, verses 14 and 15, it says that he spoiled principalities and powers. That word spoiled in the book of Colossians speaks about disarming the enemy. And I like the verse that is given in Colossians 2 and verse 14 because it speaks about what Jesus Christ did for us. He made a show, openly triumphing over all of them. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. A wonderful scripture that gives us this biblical principle. 1 John 3, 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what the Lord accomplished through his cross work. He destroyed the works of the devil. And we need to live in light of that truth. Also, we need to recognize number four. We are joined together in Christ's victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, the Word of God says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin," literally died to sin and its stranglehold, "live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Wherefore we literally were buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old life, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." That word destroyed means rendered powerless, brought to naught, as it were, in 1 Corinthians 1:28. It might be rendered powerless, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. We don't have to obey the devil any longer. Oh, we need to recognize that. And I always counsel individuals that are having problems with the thought life and matters, get yourself an accountability partner, someone that can meet with you and pray with you and encourage you. And when you're tempted, you need to recognize that I need to alter the pattern of my behavior. I've spoken with young people that say, "Well, I'm tempted in the morning to go to my computer." They need to change radically their entire schedule. Don't even have the computer in a place where you can be tempted. Don't even go into that room. Have your Bible time in the living room. Then go out running and exercise. Change your whole pattern of that mindset that leads you in that direction. Because the battle is for the mind. And we need to recognize that we have Jesus' resurrection power, but we also need to have individuals that can help us, and we can be accountable to them, and that's so critically important. Now, number five, Christ's power and authority are greater than that of the devil. So therefore, you remember the Genesis 3:15 passage where we know that Jesus Christ has victory and his power and authority is greater. 1 John 4:4, greater is the one that is in us than he that is in the world. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Word of God says, beginning with verse 3, for we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's an area where we have allowed Satan to put a Trojan horse into our lives. It's a concession. It's an area that we have allowed Satan to weasel in so that he now has a center of operations whereby he can work from. Militarily, it would be equivalent to a beachhead that the enemy would establish in a certain country. And from there, he's able to launch additional aircraft to conquer further. And that's what the devil wants. But the Lord has given us the weapons and these biblical truths that I've shared with you where we can pull down those strongholds. I've come to the place in my ministry that I believe that virtually it is almost impossible for a believer by himself to break this area of strongholds in their lives without sound counsel from God's word and an accountability partner. Because just as you recall Cain, when he was told that sin lieth at the door, Satan is always ready to spring up. And when that time comes, we need individuals to help us. And I've been amazed as I've met with pastors and talked with pastors, how many pastors have help groups in this area of the mental uncleanness that so many are dealing with. And oh, how we need to be careful about that and be cautious about it. Many parents don't even have passwords to their children's phones and computers. Let me encourage you, you get those passwords and you check your children's computers. How old? Oh, if they're over 18 or over 21, listen, anybody that lives under my roof, I have the passcodes because I have a responsibility to my home. And that's the way I work it. That's just the way it needs to be. And we need to be cautious and open. Don't allow the old devil to have these strongholds. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but many of you have grandchildren, and I virtually will say this. Every one of you knows someone in your family, extended family, that has had a problem with pornography. That is how widely diversified it is. And I don't need to preach to you because you're part of the choir, so to speak. I don't need to tell you the destruction that it does to a home and to family and to young people and all of these things. And I was just reading in the newspaper how that there was a father who was concerned about some of the comments that his son had made regarding firearms in school. With all of the comments that people are making about shooting up schools, well, the father looked into his son's computer and he began seeing comments that were very, very threatening to the school that he went. So you know what the father did? He went to the police department and took his son's phone. Lo and behold, they looked at these comments and they were very concerned. But guess what? They also found out that the son had been involved in child pornography and he was downloading child porn. So you see, one thing led to another, led to another, led to another. When I started out in the ministry, folks, there was very little of this kind of thing. If somebody wanted to get his head messed up, you had to go to an adult bookstore somewhere in the sleazy part of town. Now, it's available in homes today and television and all of the cable and all of these things. And virtually every one of you is probably concerned about someone, whether be a son or a grandson or great-grandson, that is involved in something like this. So we need to take these principles very, very seriously. Number six, Christ is our advocate. Praise God. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, the Word of God tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have our Savior who is our advocate? And we can pray, that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And we can certainly claim that. And let me give you these principles again. As believers, number one, recognize there's still the battle for your mind. Guard your mind. Guide what you read. Make sure that you are not contaminating your mind. There's still the battle for your mind. Number two, you need to put on daily the whole armor of God. Number three, keep in mind that Christ has overcome the powers of darkness. And you can go to the devil and say, Satan, you're a defeated foe. I'm a child of God. Depart from me. Number four, we're joined together in Christ's victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. We've risen in newness of life. Number five, Christ's power and authority are greater than that of the devil. And in that, we can make our claim. Number six, Christ is our advocate. Number seven, remember, Satan shall someday be cast into the lake of fire. And as it says here, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Then finally, and I conclude with this, number eight, Christ has assured us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, the Word of God says in verse 35, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'd like to close with an illustration that I once heard from a godly pastor. His name is Adrian Rogers. Some of you remember old Pastor Adrian Rogers from Tennessee, and he's now home with the Lord. God gave him his ticket of a decade and a half ago, but he was a great man. He was one of them, along with Criswell and Stanley and some of the others, that virtually turned the Southern Baptist Convention around. But he once gave this illustration a youthful experience in his life. He says this, "When I was growing up, there was a neighborhood bully a few years older than I was, and he had me in his sights. The bully one day came into my yard, and I was scared to death. After a few very long seconds, I decided that the only way to win this thing was to stand up finally against this bully. So I started moving towards the bully. The bully was scared, believe it or not. In fact, he began to tremble all over. I said to myself, man, I'm really something. He's afraid of me. But then I turned around and noticed that my father, having heard all that noise, was standing behind me in the front porch. And you know what? It's the same way for us. As believers, we have all the power of the universe at our disposal because our Heavenly Father is standing behind us. And we need not allow the old devil to bully us anymore. What struggles are you facing in life? Well, the Lord has already conquered the battle, and we stand not in our authority, but in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to ask us to examine our lives, our families, and even our children and grandchildren. And perhaps some of these things that I've been talking about have been areas that the old devil has made some strongholds in. And that's been a burden on your heart. I'm wondering if you'll, first of all, commit that to the Lord in prayer. If for some reason this battle for the mind is one that you're involved in, are you willing to take the biblical steps and deal with it as sin and call it what it is? A stronghold of the devil. Some of you might say, Pastor John, you're preaching to the wrong crowd. I'm over 60 years of age. Well, I'm here to tell you, I've counseled and dealt with cases where pornography was present even in the lives of octogenarians. And I'm talking about 80 and up. Because it knows no barriers, because the sin of the imagination of the mind transcends years. And folks, it'll destroy your home, your marriage, your concept of what a true biblical marriage partner is all about. And if you're concerned about your life, just commit that to God and say, I'm willing to biblically call sin by its right name, and I'm willing to take the practical steps to separate myself from the inroads of those things that have been battling against my mind, and what you've been reading and what you've been seeing on TV. Perhaps some of your friends that have been leading you into areas where you've been going against your convictions and what the Word of God says. And I'd like to close this time of prayer by asking the blood of Jesus Christ over the families, your children, your grandchildren, that are facing many of these things. Let's pray together as a church family. You pray along with me. And in the quietness of your heart, you mention by name your children and your grandchildren and your son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and commit them to God and pray that God will work to remove this scourge upon our nation. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. Oh, how we need the touch of God in our homes, in our churches, in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray for the many needs, Lord. And we've dealt with these biblical principles and what you've done to give us victory. Help us, Lord, to respond as victors, not victims, because, Lord, we have your authority and your power. And Satan, judicially, is a defeated foe. Help us to live in light of that. And, Lord, as we commit our children and family members and loved ones to this great, great need of Lord, your power in their lives, bring them close to you. And some may not even know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we plead for their salvation as well. So, Father, we commit these matters into your hands and pray for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen.